Welcome, traveler, to the Inn at the Edge of Greenwood, a cozy roleplay podcast where adventurers from many realms come to tell their tales. You won't find any dice rolls or TTRPG mechanics here, just good old-fashioned make-believe and storytelling. We hope you enjoy your stay, and if you do, that you let us know with a review. Thank you for joining us. Now, let's grab something hot to drink and listen to a story.
Dear friend, things have gotten quiet again, which, I cannot lie, is a nice change of pace. Lately there have been a lot of comings and goings, but life has finally returned to a slow and comfortable pace, which did make it all the more interesting when our newest guest from another realm showed up at the inn. And though she was very unique, I couldn't help but feel as if she was infinitely familiar as well. The Inn at the Edge of Greenwood, Chapter 11. Granite, Goblins, Gods. You've been walking along the road for the better part of a day at this point, and since you woke up and found yourself in a different place than where you went to sleep, walking's been the best option you felt you had, trying to find some new place. You haven't come across anyone at this point until near the end of the day, when you start to hear the sound of a town or some sort of gathering up ahead around the corner of the road. As you turn the corner along the edge of this pine tree forest that you've been following for the course of the day, you see a small village with market stalls and lots of people moving about, and a large inn building that is kind of up on the hill a little bit. And as you begin to walk towards it with a little more excitement at the prospect of finally coming across people and coming across someplace to perhaps get some answers or get some sleep at this point, then the village begins to go quiet and people begin to give you looks. They start to grab their children and pull them a little bit closer to themselves. And you are given wide berth as you walk through the middle of what is probably the main marketplace here in the village and heading towards the inn. Nevertheless, you make your way towards this building, and as you come up onto it, there is a little ramp that goes up to the front door. There's a sign that swings over the front with a green pine tree painted on it and a big heavy wooden door that invites you into this two-story building with a stables out the back.
Having all these people look at her strangely isn't necessarily something completely out of the ordinary. Her own people look at her strangely a lot of the time. So she does feel uneasy being in a place that she's never been before, and certainly would like to know how she ended up here. This inn, I would say, seems to be a good enough option. You can get answers at inns. They're kind of like little info booths for towns, I guess.
Info booths, really?
That wasn't intentional, but that's great. So she, looking around and seeming that this might be her best option, journeys in. This little 3-foot-tall goblin. Probably everyone around her is towering over her.
Not so much, because a lot of the folks here are halflings and gnomes. But there are some big folk, and if nothing else, the color of your skin and the length of your ears and your who you are definitely does draw attention.
Of course.
As you open up the door and enter this space, what you see before you is a large banquet hall style room that has a staircase at the other end of it that leads up into probably second floor and, you know, rooms for sleeping and whatnot. You do see a kitchen in the back, but the main room is very large and open. There are tables scattered throughout. It's a high ceiling with these big wooden beams that come across from one side to the other to the walls. All the way to the left, against the far wall, there is a large roaring fireplace, which is not stoked up too high right now. It's a fairly warm day, but there seems to be kind of one of those, like, ever-present fires going. On the left-hand side, almost, and with the door being on the left, it's almost kind of right in front of you as you come in, is a large L-shaped bar that spans from one wall to the other. And you see a kitchen door behind that. And as you walk in, there are lots of different people sitting in the banquet hall at the moment. Almost every table is full. It doesn't seem to be too rowdy or anything. Everybody's just enjoying conversation with each other. There is a barkeep who is working. He's a young man, slender build, short brown hair, wearing an apron and plain clothes underneath. And there's definitely a moment where everything goes quiet as people turn and clock you. Not just quiet from the sense of seeing someone new, but there is a very palpable tension that fills the space. Those with knives begin to bring their hands towards them. People scoot around and get a better position. There's a hostile feel as soon as you walk in.
Draga kind of puffs up her chest a bit at that, puts her shoulders back a little bit, tries to walk maybe a little more strongly and slowly towards the bar, kind of with purpose to be like, I am not afraid of you, basically. As these people seem to have, for some reason, not targeted her, but seem to be wary of her. In her mind, she's probably thinking to herself, maybe it's something I'm wearing. Maybe I look like I'm from some place that they don't like. She hasn't registered that there is another reason for it.
As you begin to walk towards the bar and people, even at the bar, move away, the barkeep puts a hand out towards everyone. He's like, now everyone, please stay calm. And he looks towards you and makes eye contact. And he says, can I help you, friend?
She walks up towards where the bar is, and she doesn't get up onto the stool, but she puts her hands kind of on the stool itself and looks up at them and is just like,
I don't know how I got here. I'm trying to find out.
And you see his shoulders, like, which were tense, and he was even in a bit of a defensive stance, kind of slump. And he turns towards everyone and goes, look, everyone, I know this is unusual, but you can trust me. Go back to your drinks, go back to your food, please. Everyone is welcome at the inn, remember? And people kind of slowly sit back down, and you're still getting lots of looks, and all the conversation has gone to murmurs, but people seem to have eased the the fight response in the moment. The barkeep comes over and kind of leans down and comes closer to you, and he's like, you're not from this area, are you, my friend?
No, I'm not. I live in the mountain range, Shinberry. Do you know where that is? That's where I last remember being.
I'm afraid not, and well, to be frank, I don't think I'll be familiar with any of the places you're from. You see, this particular area of our country tends to be a bit of a way station. Folks from all different planes of existence find themselves here. It's kind of become our speciality, a bit of a calling card, but you're not on, if I had to wager a guess, you're not at home right now.
That sounds very complicated.
It's a bit much, but I take it where you're from. Well, forgive me, you're a goblin, are you not?
Yes, is there something wrong with that?
From where you're from, I'm sure not at all. From here, we don't have any dealings with the goblins outside of rebuffing them when they try to raid our towns.
She bristles a bit at that, and she's like, usually it's because of the way that I dress and not the way that I look. That's quite rude.
Oh, the clothes you're wearing seem very nice. No judgment. And please, understand, you are welcome here. Everyone is welcome at the inn. But not everyone who dines here can check their prejudices at the door.
She kind of wrings her hands a little bit at that, looking around at everyone. seeming to kind of become more uncomfortable with the notion now that it's not because of where she's from that people are looking at her. It's because of who she is. And she frowns at that. And she nervously reaches into her pocket and she pulls out two little stones that she kind of just starts rubbing together absentmindedly as she's looking around. And she's looking at the bar stools. And I'm sure there are some that are like built to be able to like have someone her height.
Actually, all of them are normal size, but every single one has a series of little steps that goes up to it.
Okay. Okay. I would say she wants to show off a little bit. So, is there like an edge at the end of one of the bars where there's like a space where like another stool could go or something like that?
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. She kind of makes her way over there, over to the end of bar. Looking around at everyone, and she puts one of those stones on the ground and rubs her hands a bit and just goes and claps. And you see that stone expand upwards to about maybe 4 feet, 4 or 5 feet tall.
Okay.
And she kind of just gets up on top of it and puts her hands between her legs and crosses them, crosses her legs and looks at the barkeep.
And he kind of lights up a little bit seeing you do this. And he comes over, he's like, that is a wonderful ability. You're a magic user, then?
Yes, but some people say that this isn't actually magic.
Why would that be?
Are you born with magic here? Well, I know that some are, but I mean, do you have something that makes you special?
Some sorceress types are born innately with magic. Many of us, and he kind of lowers his voice and gets him closer, including myself, study in order to learn magical abilities. But I get the feeling you mean something different by special.
Where I'm from, there are things that are called sparks. They're abilities that some people have that make them a little different from others. It's not necessarily magic, because things like... Oh, you know, anti-magic, it doesn't work. You could cast that on me and I could still do this.
Interesting. So your abilities can't be counterspelled or counteracted.
Exactly. Unless you have a spark to be able to do something like that.
That is fascinating. And he's kind of coming in closer and leaning against the bar talking to you. And really kind of getting absorbed. And he all of a sudden kind of starts and realizes that everybody's looking at him as well as you. And he's kind of pulls back. He's like, well, can I get you something to eat or drink?
Oh, I would love something. Do you have cranberry juice?
Certainly. We can provide that.
It would be very unfortunate if you didn't, if that didn't exist here.
Well, I guess fortunately it does.
She grins at that.
And he disappears for a moment back into the back kitchen, comes back a moment later with a little jug with a dark red liquid in it, pours you a little glass of cranberry juice, slides it across the bar to you. I am sorry, this is not what you signed up for, is it?
I just want to go home, to be honest.
Well, to be fair, sometimes it does take a few days, but everyone I've known coming through this place from another realm, does make it back eventually.
Do you know if they make it back?
Well, to be fair, I don't. I assume they leave here and I never hear from them again, and I would like to think that means that they make it back home.
Oh, that's a scary thought.
I suppose it is.
Oh, I wish I had a spark that could communicate back with you or something so you'd know I was okay.
I would appreciate that. What? Tell me, these sparks, you say they're not magic per se, but are they all, like, so yours you can change the shape of stone?
Stone, yes. I can make it larger or smaller.
And are other sparks similar to that? You know, elemental or
Oh, they can be all kinds. A lot of them are similar to spells that already exist. It's just, it's innate. It's something that you just have. It's something that you can just do. Sometimes there's limits, sometimes there's not. It just depends. I can do it as much as I want.
That's remarkable. It must come in very handy in a lot of situations.
Yes, it has.
She seems to have grown a little bit uncomfortable at that.
I'm sorry if you have been made to feel less than welcome. I would like to do what I can to rectify that. Unless you plan to head out tonight, the room is on me, and the meal is on me, and I guess if I were being selfish, the only thing I would ask in return is to hear more about who you are. What is your name?
My name is Draga.
Draga, it's very nice to meet you. You are the first goblin I've ever met, but I am very pleased to meet you.
Well, it's good to meet you. I suppose you're the first person I've met in this strange world, so.
That's true. So we have that in common. We are the first each other has met in some respect.
In some respect, yes. I don't know if I necessarily need a room. I can build myself a room that I'm comfortable in just fine.
Oh, with the stone shaping ability?
Yes.
That's remarkable.
I don't usually meld things, but I can do some simple work with it.
But can you make a soft bed?
No, not really.
That's what I can give you.
I'll take it then.
All right, and he actually grabs a big leather book and opens it up and writes your name on a line and pulls a key out of the book. You see several keys kind of hooked up, and he slides it across to you, and he's like, your room is going to be room number 8 up those stairs. It'll be on your right, and whenever you want, you can get a good night's sleep there. But, again, being selfish, but this world you're from, I would love to hear more of it.
I can share a bit about where I'm from, I guess. You seem to be very interested in sparks.
Yes, and I think in general, you see, someone like myself who works here at a place where many come through, you could call me a story collector, you could call me just curious, but this is the great joy of running a place like this, is meeting all sorts of new folks.
Well, sparks, I guess. Well, I'll get to that. I'm from, like I said, the Sinberry Mountains. It's a very small village of goblins, and we moved there because, well, there was a war a while ago, and we lost and we won. It's a little confusing. I'm not entirely sure if my region actually won or not. They treat us like we didn't, but I heard rumors that we did, so. It just felt like maybe going away from everything was a better idea. So my family, they packed up and they moved to the mountains. And they became miners. We mine the mountain caves for metals and stones and things to sell to the neighboring villages. We got a good reputation, I think, from that on both sides of the mountain. Whether they were from our region or not, I think they tended to come to like us. So I said that, you know, sparks, people have them. Some people pretty much do seem to develop them from birth, but they don't come right away. I've only had mine for about a year now.
And does everyone have one?
No, I don't think so. Or maybe people just don't ever activate it. I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, that's a sad idea that you could have an incredible ability within you and never realize it.
Well, the way that I found mine wasn't entirely pleasant, so maybe it's for the best.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Ah, it seems to be quite common.
That some sort of danger or trauma brings it out of you?
I think so. I haven't heard of anyone getting one in a way that seemed pleasant. Although some people do seem to just find out that they have it. I've known there's a very big man where I'm from with these wings. We worship the same god. And he's had it since he was like a baby, which is incredible. So I guess not all of them come from bad things. Just seems like maybe mine did.
And what if you... Does it... Do you mine? So do you use this ability in your mining? Does it make you better at your job, I imagine?
Oh, I don't go into the caves anymore.
Oh.
They say you're supposed to go in pairs and groups. It's dangerous to go into the mines alone. About a year ago, despite being told that, I found this really precious gemstone in the way far back, and I was worried because of the condition of the cave that if I didn't get it right now, we would lose it. Gemstones are rare. We get medals and things all the time, but the gemstones are the things that are really precious. So I went to go get some materials, and when I came back to pull it out, and then it just kind of went dark while I was inside. I was so far back, I was like, maybe it's just nighttime, maybe the sun just set. But when I tried to find my way back out, I couldn't find the entrance. Must have been a cave-in.
Did you hear anything?
Not that I remember, but I was so far back into the... It could have happened at any point, and I just was so caught up in trying to get this gemstone.
And she, again, is, like, rubbing the one that she still has in her hand.
Yeah.
It just seems like a normal rock. It's not like the gemstone that she's describing.
Sure.
But she does seem to be kind of, like, rubbing it for comfort. And then she looks back down at, like, the big rock that she's on and kind of pats it a little bit. Again, like a comfort thing.
There wasn't any food or water in the cave system that I ended up trapped in. I've wandered around for days. And I called for help, and nobody came. I should have told someone I left.
It's a miracle you survived.
A miracle? Or fate, maybe. When I started to give up finding my way out, I felt as if something was with me, but it wasn't. When people hear this story, they're like, oh, you must have met some sort of spirit or a god or something. And it didn't feel like it was comforting. It just felt really old. And I just remember wanting so desperately to get out of this cave and feeling like this thing was with me and not knowing what it was. And then suddenly I was out. I was out of the cave. The rocks that had been blocking my path were small and on the ground, and I could pick them up in my hand. I haven't gone back into the cave since then. I wonder if that whatever was there is still there.
Do you think it was a god or a spirit?
I don't know. I think about it all the time. I actually wasn't a worshiper of Claytor until after that. I was trying to search for answers. Claytor is my god.
I've not heard of him.
Oh, well, to be honest, not a lot of people really know a lot about him. He's dormant. He's the god of nature, reincarnation, and stone. So I thought, it made sense that if there was something in the mountain with me, it probably would be him.
Our gods have been dormant, you could say, for a long time as well, though what you're describing sounds like the domains of Tamlin and Atalan, the god of nature and then the god of life and rebirth, goddess of life and rebirth, rather.
Interesting. Different gods. That's so interesting. So they don't transcend one to another.
What an interesting question. Are the gods tied to these planes of existences, or are they beyond, and do we just call them by different names?
Maybe it's that. Or maybe if they're dormant here, they're active somewhere else. Maybe I could find him here.
And she's wringing her hands again.
I worship him because I want to thank him, if it is him. I don't know. He's just my best guess. I just want to know who helped me. I think whatever was there helped me. Even if it was scary. And it did feel nice to know that there was someone there.
It's funny because I don't give a lot of thought to faith. I believe in the gods, of course, but, well, to be frank, when they've not spoken in 1,000 years, it's hard to remember their presence day to day.
I think it's quite easy. I look outside and I see the mountains and all the things around and moving about and life and everything. I personally, coming from the mountains, I focus more on the stone part, but I think there's reminders everywhere. You don't think it happened all by chance, do you?
You know, it's funny. He kind of looks around, up around him. He's like, this building certainly didn't happen by chance. And I like to think that the larger world didn't happen by chance either. Who can know for certain? But it does seem to be crafted.
I don't try to dwell too much on the big things. I just think it's It's comforting to think that, you know, there's something that made something greater.
It is. So did your Claytor give you your spark then, do you think?
I don't know. Again, I don't even know if he's the one who helped me. It just felt very old. I think it spoke to me, but I don't know for sure. I can't remember for some reason.
Well, if you don't go back to the mines anymore, what do you do now, if I may ask?
Oh, I was packing up to go, actually, to a little program that I was invited to. For other sparks like me. Do you have chosen ones here?
I'm afraid I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's kind of like... I don't know how you'd even describe it. It's a person who has a responsibility to protect everyone. They have a spark that's really strong and powerful and can do a lot of things.
If you can reshape the very Earth, then I would imagine that might be you, wouldn't it?
Oh, much stronger than that. I'm talking about one of the people who are going to be there. They could see the future up to a full year in advance, just whatever they wanted to.
Goodness.
And another one. Oh, the anti-magic thing that I mentioned earlier. He could do that with his spark. So, whole town, he could turn all the magic off if he wanted to. And again, no one could counteract that because it's a spark. So, very strong. Another one, I think he's immortal. I'm not entirely sure.
Immortal? Truly?
No weapons, magical or otherwise, could pierce his skin. He seems like he stopped aging, maybe, too.
Goodness. We have wizards and sorcerers and practicers of divine and arcane magic, but I don't know that I've ever heard of or met anyone immortal. It seems that your world is full of powers much beyond ours.
I think that's just the way things are supposed to be. It's like what I said with how you look around and things seem to have a purpose, and things couldn't be here if there wasn't something to put them into place. I think that's why it's easier for us to believe in things like gods and faith. Everything seems very predetermined. A little too much sometimes, maybe.
I would say, does it not ever leave you feeling as if your fate's not in your hands?
Oh, like I said, I don't like to think about these things too much.
Well, fair enough.
I'm just going there for fun and to get away from the mines.
Well, I certainly hope that you find your way back. Like I said, many who come through my doors are here for a day, maybe a few at the most, before they, I hope, find their way back home. Look out for thunderstorms. They seem to be... So the planes of existence tend to shift here. And so a crack of thunder, specifically, seems to be a good catalyst for moving things from one space to another.
Hear thunder, I'll go running. I do think I'm starting to get a little bit tired.
Well, and he slides the key across the counter to you. Please, if you need anything at all, just come knocking and get you anything you need, but have a restful night's sleep. Draka, it's wonderful to meet you.
It's wonderful to meet you, too. And she takes that little rock that she has in her hands, and you see her kind of grasp it very firmly, and then this cracks it in half. And there's a very pretty, like, geode inside the interior. She hands one half over to you.
Oh, goodness. No, I can't accept this. This is your... You seem to use this for your spark.
I can use any old rock. And these are pretty. They're not really worth much, but they are quite nice to look at.
He takes it and kind of turns it towards him and looks at the light from a nearby lantern kind of play across it. It's not pretty, it's gorgeous. It's mesmerizing.
You have something from another world now to hang on to.
I hope it doesn't disappear when you do.
Oh, wouldn't that be sad?
It would be, but I'll enjoy it while it's here, just as I've enjoyed your company while you're here.
It was nice to meet you.
Me too.
She takes the key.
You head up to your room, and as you open the door, there's a little bit of a creak, and you close it behind you, And then the moment that the door closes with that hit of wood against wood and that click of the latch, you feel a shiver down your spine. And you look, and what you saw to be an inn room, when you first opened the door with a little bed and side table and stuff, you turn back and now see very different quarters. My time with Draga was short, but very sweet. She was a kindred spirit with deep thoughts, but also a simple love of life. I will miss her company. And she was a good reminder that our preconceived notions of a person or people we've never met are rarely, if ever, right. Apparently, this lesson of setting aside prejudices is one I must continually learn as well. I feel my time in this journal coming to an end, but there's one more story that I must tell before we close the book. I'll write to you with it soon. Till then.